We're live.
All right, here we go. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We are live again at the Podcast Lounge, hosted by Dragonfly Max. I got to thank my boy Robbie from Frio Hydration for setting us up, getting us live, getting us going.
Hi,
all the work here. We got Bart Peterson and Jason Cates joining us. They are actually just coming from the Secondary Schools Athletic Trainer Committee meeting. And so we're going to be talking about where are we headed in athletic training in the Secondary Schools Athletic Trainer Committee. And so without much further ado, Bart, welcome. I got to ask you, did you run this morning?
Oh, man, I ran the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, it's tough running out here. It's like running in the Mississippi River. It's thick outside. But the race this morning is at 6, and our session this morning, our educational session this morning was at 7. So it was pretty tough to get out there this morning. I wish I had of them. I'm a proud supporter of the foundation and the 5K. And so I did a virtual 5K on Wednesday because I had a 6 o'clock meeting on Thursday as well. So, yep.
I got you. All right, so I just finished my first ever race. All right, I've run over 5K before at the house, but that was the first ever race. And so my first official time as a runner was 26:40 for a 5K.
That is not bad.
So I was telling them I wish I'd given just a little bit more. I may have could cut off like 10 seconds at the end, just running a little bit harder. But, you know, I didn't know exactly what I was going to have left. So are your
shoes soggy? You have water in your shoes
when
you got done?
I'm from Houston.
Oh, yeah, you're used to that
It's
stuff.
Almost no different. Actually, I'm used to training at an elevation with this stuff if I'm from Houston. So
holy cow. So at my place, when I go out on a run every morning, I go out and I breathe and I lose water breathing. Here, I was gaining water. I couldn't get it out of my mouth fast enough, so I felt like I was drowning outside running.
That's my nose is always running whenever I'm out there running. So
yep.
All right. So you guys came from an educational session with the Secondary Schools Athletic Trainer Committee. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. So Jason, why don't you start us off? Tell me a little bit about what was happening there, and then we're just discussing where we are going in the secondary schools.
We had a great turnout this morning for the early time slot, but being here in New Orleans, Chris Snoddy did a great job setting up the meeting. We had three very distinct topics: work-life balance, transgender athletes. And then
cramping. So we actually took the 5K and thought there were going to be a whole bunch of people cramping after the 5K. So we discussed cramping as well this morning.
And so great topics, great interaction, very, very, very good meeting.
All right. So let's get a cliff notes of each of those three topics. Again, you said work-life balance and as some people will say, just life balance in general. And then transgender athletes and then cramping. All right, so give me just the cliff notes of those, and whoever wants to speak at whichever time.
Work-life balance, that's a hot topic, not only in athletic training or sports medicine, but just in everything that we do. And so making sure that you're taking time for yourself to decompress and do the things that you need to do so that you're not burned out all the time, and we're not losing great professionals just from – you know, not being able to do what they want to do. And so that was good. The cramping, great information, research on that, following up with, it's not always with the hydration. More research is being done. Newer things are coming out. Bigger case studies are being done, and we're seeing more of a neurological response instead of the hydration aspect of that. So great information from that. Why does pickle juice work? Very, very interesting. And look forward to learning more about that as more research comes out here in the next year. And then transgender, it's people's privacy. And being able, finding out what different parts of the country, how they address that, how different state athletic associations address that, from the NFHS, NATA, NCAA, how do those athletes get to compete at the highest level? And they should be afforded that opportunity.
All right, so again, that's an interesting topic, and I'm sure that if it was open for discussion that there would have been a lot of opinions one way or another, right?
Yeah, there were some really good questions on that. folks had some really good insight from just basic personal experience at their schools or their organizations where they're working. And we had really good presentations on that transgender issue. So that was and they're really good, great questions. So it really comes down to respecting other people. And as a healthcare professional, you need to be able to do that, respect other people. We do that every day. It's hard to respect freshmen sometimes, right? But they grow into real people after they're freshmen. But in reality, you know, every patient that we treat, every athlete that we treat, every student that we treat needs to be benefited the same treatment. And so that's what it really comes down to, is allowing everybody to be the person that they are.
All right. Jason, what was the most interesting thing to you about the cramping?
That most of the research that has been done up to this date is what we have been taught or preconceived. there's very little data to back it up. And as we're moving forward in our profession with evidence-based and education and really what is the facts and not just assumptions or hypothesis, what is really truly the nuts and bolts, and finding out that most of the studies from back in the 90s, 80s, things like that, it was a very small subset of athletes, sports participation that those studies came out of. And now, of course, with everything else, as data collection has gotten better, resources have gotten better, studies have gotten better, what we once were taught probably isn't really what's going on with that athlete.
That's interesting. As I walk to the restroom, I think I passed at least three different hydration products, and then you're saying, from what we really know, none of it is legit or is well-researched enough, or we haven't been taught enough on there. So that's very interesting to me, you know, because you just see more and more stuff. And again, I have Hoist water here on the table because they say it helps hydrate better. And so, again, it's really interesting to me, and I look forward to hearing some more about that as well.
I think one of the great points on that topic was if you look at all sports except for football, there was data that supported that it really isn't hydration and it really isn't electrolytes as much. But when you look at football, and correct me if I'm wrong, football actually did have some indicators that showed that there is some hydration and some electrolyte issues that can be identified through football. But it was only with football. It wasn't with other sports.
Yeah. That was very compelling, very interesting to see that data come out.
All right, so Bart, what are you going to take away from the work-life balance or the life balance session that you had going on?
I think the work-life, I have a problem with work-life balance because I have none. Larry Cooper's out here laughing and he has less than I have.
So there you go, you're better than one person.
Yeah, you know, so I feel good about myself now because I at least a little bit better than Larry. So no is a complete sentence. And when we put this program together, that was what we started with, is no is a complete sentence. You know, you need to be able to take care of you. You need to be able to identify what has to happen, what should happen, and what can happen. And sometimes what can happen tomorrow or the next day. But today, maybe you need to take care of you. So we have a whole bunch of professionals, old guys like me, the young guys just out of school. And you need to be able to identify your needs as they stand right now and take care of yourself, because it only can you take care of your patients if you're able to already taking care of yourself. I look at it, you can't help somebody climb a mountain if you're below them. You only help somebody climb a mountain if you're above them and you're pulling them up to you. And only if you reach down, right? If they have to reach up to you, they've already climbed. So as we're working with our patients and we're trying to help them climb the mountain, recovery or prevention or those kind of things, you know, we need to be able to in a position where we can reach down and help them. So that means we have to have ourselves in that position to be able to do that.
Jason?
Asking for help. Asking for help is not a weakness. So as athletic trainers, as healthcare professionals that have families, kids, you got an AD you got to listen to, a principal you got to listen to, you may have a manager at a clinic that you got to listen to, the doc, things can pile up real quick just outside of injuries and athletic schedules and coverage and things like that. And if you're at your max and nothing else can be poured into your cup, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to call another athletic trainer in your district and just say, hey, my baseball team's coming to you tonight. I'm maxed out. Do you mind? To take a little time for yourself and decompress and make sure that you're taking care of number one first, so then you can take care of the thousands that are under your care.
And then be willing to help other people too. Because, you know, when we serve other people, that kind of helps us recharge our batteries as well.
Yeah, so people talk about it all the time, the remembering your why. And so if you're just grinding and grinding and grinding, you can't ever step back and see what the project or what the masterpiece looks like, right? So you just take a step back and look, oh, yeah, that is really good what I'm doing here. You know, like with anything, with the podcast, I get, well, there was a squeak on this last person's interview, or I can step back and look at all these people I've met, all these people that have come by and say, hey, thanks for doing this. Okay, so I just need to just realize that not every single thing is going to go perfectly. Let me just ask for help, get somebody to help me, get somebody to just let things go. So, very good. All right, and then, Jason, with the transgender, what was something that you took away?
Really, it's just that individual's privacy. It doesn't have to be put up on a billboard, you know, things like that. They are an individual, and the golden rule goes a long way and pretty much covers it all. But sometimes our institutions, our administration, they're in a CYA kind of mindset. And it's not that they knowingly or premeditated that they want to do anything against that individual, but they just want to make sure that, you know, everything is, all the boxes are checked for that person to enter that realm, and everything is safe. But it doesn't necessarily have to be announced to everyone. So that really hit home with me, and that is a great message. And I think at that point in time, we really need to rely on the individual, and if it is a minor, that individual's family, and have them kind of coach us on how we address that, and what information do we let out, and what information it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. It's a person, and as long as they're taken care of, and they're competing, and they're happy, and you know. That's it in a nutshell.
All right, Bart, anything to add about that?
I would just add that every state, every jurisdiction has different laws and rules about that kind of stuff. So it's really important to know what your laws are in your state. Also know that there is work being done at the National Federation to address these things, but most of that is deferred to the states because there's so much variance in the state laws that the National Federation really can't address things directly. So they just assist states with what's going on in their state to make sure that that's happening correctly in the state. And they have good policy to help kids in the state.
That's Jeremy. That's what I was going to add to his policy. Don't be proactive. Don't be retroactive on that stuff. If you haven't talked about these things already at your place, it's time to start having a talk so that way, when it does happen, you already have a policy ready and you're not being reactive to it. You're being proactive.
All right, so check your local policy. Make sure you're respecting the rights and privacy of those individuals and treat everybody like you would a healthcare professional, golden rule, that kind of thing. So,
yep.
All right, very good. So that was an educational meeting. So where are we headed currently in the secondary school's athletic trainer realm?
Well, how much time you got?
Well, until the next guest shows up.
Committee meeting was 8+ hours.
8+ hours? All
right. So, yawn?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Word for word, repeat.
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate our winners. You'll see those winners out there. We have 10 Gatorade award winners, Athletic Trainer of the Year award winners, one from every district. We have the Jack Kramer Scholarship, Joshua Early from Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember do you remember the school's name?
I can tell you. Yeah, keep talking, and I'll tell you in just a second.
He can tell me faster than I can remember it, that's for sure. I'm getting too old. So he got the Jack Kramer Scholarship. We had Hal Hilmer and Jennifer Armstrong and Dale Blair. And I spaced on the fourth one for the Servant's Heart Award. And so did you get it?
Yeah. So our Kramer Scholarship winner is Josh Early, C.E. King High School in H-Town, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to the H-Town.
So he got a scholarship from Kramer. Do you have the Servant's Heart? I forgot the fourth Servant's Heart. Those folks are recognized for the excellent work over a long period of time in their school and providing service to the community at large as well as to the school population, and stakeholders there. So Hal Hilmer is a former secondary school chair. But you don't actually have to be in a service volunteer opportunity. It could just be localized, really, really localized. There was a gentleman last year from District 5 who, you know, works with the clubs and the Boys and Girls Club or the Lions Club or whatever around Kiwanis, around town, and really promotes the profession of athletic training through service and those kind of things. But they're also providing excellent care at the school. And I apologize. I'm sorry. Then we did award the AT Advocate Award today to the NFL for their work in providing the AT Initiative. Mm-hmm. If you remember the AT Initiative, we had 3 years of schools getting money to help create athletic training services at their school. And they also, that awesome video, the commercial that you saw in the middle of an NFL game, and all of a sudden it brings tears to your eyes, right? The NFL did that on their own. We didn't, work with them and cooperate with them or anything like that. We provided people, I think. But that was amazing that they did. So we recognize the NFL for their work in trying to help the secondary school setting and change that number. The other day you heard from Atlas, that number is about 34%, right?
Of
schools that don't have an athletic trainer, and they're trying to move that needle. They're trying to change that. So we really appreciate it to them. So other than the award winners, I think probably the biggest thing we've been doing this last year, last year in Houston, on the Friday, the board addressed a request from the committee that we create a task force to revise the appropriate medical care for the secondary school aged athlete document that was published in 2003. They accepted that, approved that. Larry Cooper was appointed chair of that task force. And it's amazing to say that we revised that document in 1 year.
Larry's not smiling over there.
Larry's not smiling. He's he's actually about to fall asleep. He's tired from the work because, as a chair, I was whipping him, chasing him down the street. Now, he actually let us, if you think about writing a 100-page document in a year, with scientific references and that kind of stuff. That was an amazing feat, and he did a great job leading us down that road. So we have an awesome document that just been approved by the board this week. And I kind of wanted to go over that a little bit with you. So the old one had 11 standards. The new one has 12 standards. And then they also have, now we have substandards. So the substandards, there might be 35 or 40 standards in there total. I don't know how many there are. They're just a lot. Really cool stuff. So what we're doing is we take the standard, and the first standard would be PPE. And so every student should have a valid PPE, and it covers everything, and it outlines what they should cover, those kind of things, when they should be done, how they should be done, who they should be done by. And then the substandards go along and kind of trail along to help you build that out. So, and each standard's the same way. Standard number two would be facilities, and dealing with facilities and having clean facilities, having appropriate facilities that are safe for students to participate. Number three is equipment, appropriate equipment that can allow us to best protect our athletes as they're playing and participating in sport. Number four is protective materials, padding, taping, application of that. You know, that we don't just tape, but we do a dang good job of it when we do it, right? So we need to make sure we're doing that correctly. Number five is environmental concerns, lightning, heat, humidity, the 5K on a Friday morning at 6 o'clock. And if anybody had their Kestrel out there, we may not have actually been there, right? they might have had to cancel if we actually did a wet bulb grove out there. Maybe. You never know. So number six is education and counseling regarding nutrition and hydration. So teaching kids how to take care of themselves. Number seven would be wellness programs and creating a safe lifetime of healthy activity. So providing an activity or education process whereby we can help our students be healthy lifelong. I tell my kids, you know, my goal is not to have you playing on Friday night. My goal is to have you walk across the graduation stage without a limp and without crutches and without brace and without a scar if I can. That's my goal. It's a lifelong health. EAPs is number eight, having a good EAP. Then we talk about care. So standard nine is providing appropriate care, and it goes from head to toe, A to B, Z, the whole works. That's an incredible place, and that's where going to be the meat of the document is, because we can't. One person really can't do all this stuff. I don't know if you're getting that idea. That's a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
One person can't do all this stuff, so that's where we're going to be able to go in, and you're going to be able to work on creating your care plans, making sure your doctors orders line up with position statements and those kind of things, and you're doing the good things for there, and that you have everybody taken care of, right? So then number 10 is the rehab and the prehab. Mm-hmm. So not just treating injuries, but you're actually doing stuff to fix them when you get done, and that you're doing stuff to prevent them before that. Number 11 is one that, and in my mind, this is the one that we added. Remember, I told you we added one. That would be mental health, dealing with mental health issues, which goes all the way from, you know, just the kid that comes in and is sad today. We have those kids all day long, to dealing with ongoing issues, you know, and identifying those and treating those. And it crossed the whole spectrum there. But mental health is a big deal. Not only for us, we talked about it today in our session, but for our athletes as well. And then administration. So the last one is administration and putting everything in place, making sure everything is along those lines. And we have everything, the T's crossed and the I's dotted and the squiggle on the A's and the Q's and all those kind of things. So documentation is huge. We just finished that documentation document that was just published. And if you read that, you really find out that you should document what you didn't find as much as what you did find. Right? I evaluated Johnny. Johnny said he didn't have a headache, said he wasn't dizzy, he said he wasn't this, but he did have some nystagmus, he did have some ringing in the ears, right? So that's why we pulled him. And then the next day he comes in and he says, well, I didn't have anything at all. You shouldn't have pulled me out. Mom and Dad are mad, you know, whatever else. Or maybe 7 years down the road, they come back in a court case. If you have it documented that you didn't find anything, and he says he did, well, you know, you pretty much cover yourself. But if you don't document what you don't find, you're still not protecting yourself documentation-wise. So there's a lot of really, really good stuff in a lot of these kind of things. And that administration part is going to be a big part as well to protecting and growing the athletic trainer program in the high schools. That was a mouthful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're about 2 hours in now to the 8-hour meeting? Or was that all of it?
Actually, so that's just a document. So we're going to take that document and we're going to build it out now to a website. And the committee has been working on resources. So let's just go back to which resource you've been working on.
We're working on the PPE.
PPE. So each of those substandards is going to go through, and the secondary school committee is working on resources. So if there's a standard that says that the school needs to provide a something with a PPE, right? A secure filing place to secure the records. Maybe that's what it says. The secondary school committee is working on providing resources. So we'll have a website, you know, say standard 1, standard 1.1. It'll go across here, tell you what it is. Then they'll have a resource, and all of the available resources are over here. You click on it, take it, and show you how to provide it. And you'll be able to go through, say, I'm doing it, and I have proof that I have a policy to take care of that issue, that standard, or I'm not doing it, or maybe I'm doing it and it's part way. And you click on it, and then you'll be able to kind of keep track of where you're at. So you can build your own school profile and come back to it and build, and it'll be an ongoing profile that you can build. And so, you know, and this isn't something where we build Rome in a day. This is something that probably should take you a couple of years to implement.
Go slow to go fast.
Go slow to go fast. So you build it right the first time. You don't have to build it again. What people need to understand, too, is that, you know, we're trying to build this for the experienced athletic trainer who's been in school for 20 years, 30 years, and they're just trying to improve their program. We're also trying to build it for the new athletic trainer that's hired on Monday. Practice started on Sunday, right? And they come in and they go, what do I got to do? Their head is spinning, and then this will help them prioritize what's going on and then go through and build their program out slowly, so make sure they're covering their kids and providing that appropriate care.
So one of the things that I heard from Larry yesterday, they were talking about I'm sorry, I talked to Dr. Sam Scarnio, and they were talking about the Raise Your Rank campaign. And then we mentioned the Safe Sports Award from the NATA. And what it sounds like right here is that there's multiple different groups and organizations going or headed in the same direction. Like, we're all saying, these are your standards. These are what you're doing. If you meet these standards, then you're probably going to meet the standards for the secondary school athletic trainer. You're probably going to meet it for this, because we're all kind of lining up rather than pushing you in different directions to try and accomplish so many different things. But these are the list of things that are most important.
Exactly. So the Safe Sports School Award, we haven't directly connected them yet, but we're definitely lining up, right? We're definitely getting there. So we're going to go through the original Safe Sports School Award was designed after the original document. So the original document was put in place based on the standards that were created back with the original document. So as this comes out, then we'll work with the NHA office to make sure that that Safe Sports School Award reflects the changes to providing appropriate care. So I would anticipate that Safe Sports School Award will morph in some way. We are poised that website should be able to gather the data, so you only have to fill out the application once. You go through and fill out our thing, and possibly, maybe, you know, the office gets an email and says they're done, right? So you only have to fill that out once. You don't have to do it twice or three times. You know, it's a one-stop shop. And that's what our goal is to provide the ability, the athletic trainer, to spend as little time on this as possible, creating the maximal benefit.
All right, so we got about 3 minutes remaining. What other bits would you like to give out there that the Secondary School Athletic Trainer Committee is heading towards, or secondary schools athletic trainers need to be on the lookout for?
Transition to practice. That's another big project that we're polishing up. So if you're a new grad going into the secondary schools for your first job, you may be a letterman athletic trainer, but you've come to the secondary school setting. We want to be able to provide, again, resources, things that you need to know going into that you may have a job description, the AD, you know, whoever, school board has hired you. Here's the lay of the land. Here's the athletic training room. There's the football field. Here's, you know, whatever. Start on Monday. There's so much more than that. So, you know, how do you get liability insurance? How do you get your keys? Just the nuances of the job, of questions that, if you're new to this sector, things that will help streamline the process from A to Z to help you be able to roll into that job and be ready to go to work, not reinvent the wheel.
All right, so I see it on Facebook and Twitter a lot. Hey, I just got hired as an athletic trainer in a high school, or this situation, similar to what you're saying right there, transition to practice. But they ask on Twitter or Facebook instead. So can you quickly tell me the location for those resources, and then that way I can, you know, remember to say, or is it just you have to go to the website and click through several different links, or
transition to practice document is on the NATA website. I think if you went in there and typed it out, but that document really doesn't do what we're talking about. What that document does is tell each setting committee that we need to develop resources. So the tool that I was talking about with the appropriate medical care, that will work together and seamlessly for transition to practice as well. So again, we're only in one spot. We're doing all of the everything on one spot. Same tool is going to do everything for everybody.
Yep.
So the transition practice, we're going to incorporate, there will be some mentorship. I don't know if you've heard about Gather, which is a new NHA. It's kind of a social media type thing, but you can go in there and we'll have a secondary school room, and we'll have a task force room, and we'll be able to point people in the right direction to help people with their practice, answer questions, those kind of things. It'll be really good, but we'll be able to identify mentors for them. So Jeremy decides he needs a mentor. Jason says, I want to be a mentor, and they'll be able to tie themselves together and get together and call each other, talk to each other, and work out some things. So there's some mentorship there. There's a administration piece there. And there's a way for the athletic trainer to identify what they need and move in that direction as well.
Okay, so I'm going to create a short link. This is going to be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/blank to point, so that I can easily remember where to point people for this resource. What should I call that? Sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/...
Don't use blank.
Don't use blank.
Don't use blank. Use... I've got a lot of names for this project in my mind.
So
they haven't been approved. The chair of the committee won't give me my wish list. So I would point them towards the secondary school website on the NHA, and then they'll be able to get there from there, because we'll definitely have that resource that'll funnel out from that point.
All right, so I'm going to make it sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/secondary school website.
Yep.
Because then it's easy for me to remember. I can just always go go to this, and it'll be a link right to that page once we get it all up and running and I get it all set up. But that way I can easily remember, or anybody else can on Twitter, whenever they go to Anonymous or they go to whatever, hey, how do I do this? Go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/secondary schools website. Secondary schools website.
Yep.
So again, that'll be a short link. Make it easy for you guys to remember to find those things. And again, you guys are doing great work. Thanks for all your service of volunteering to come back out here to the podcast. But like you said, putting in 8 hours of work to help make my job easier. And again, there's so many people that need this direction, this mentorship that you guys are just all about creating. So thank you for your service. Thank you for your leadership. And thank you for coming back on the podcast.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks for all you do.
Yep.
All right, Jason, somebody wants to get a hold of you.
Jason, Jason@cpscabotpublicschools.k12.ar.us.
Or on
that, just put another
Twitter is
@CabotAT.
There you go. All right, so that may be a little bit easier. @CabotAT on Twitter.
And @Bart_Peterson on Twitter for Bart.
There you go. So find Jason, find Bart, or eventually go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/secondary schools website.
Bam.
For the Sports Medicine Broadcast here live in New Orleans, that is a wrap.